Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Cromer at the End of the Table podcast. I, of course, am your host, Michael Cromer. Welcome back to the podcast. I hope everyone had a really fantastic Thanksgiving. I know I did. I ate a lot of turkey, stuffing. I had broccoli, corn, mashed potatoes, gravy, rolls, the whole nine yards, really. It was a really wonderful Thanksgiving. And then Black Friday shopping, and I went to was outside of the Ohio State and Michigan football game. It was overall a wonderful, wonderful break, but now we are back, and we are back with another podcast, and boy, do I have a lot for you today. This podcast is absolutely jam-packed with tons of information, tons of fun stuff here for you, so stay tuned. As I said, during the month of November for each podcast, I would give an update on my No Shave November progress. Last podcast, if you remember, there were only two compliments to that point on my beard. But of course, that podcast was recorded on the 15th. Now, on the 27th, I have received an additional 7 compliments on my beard. So clearly, it is coming in. And I mean, I know you can obviously tell at home how thick and full it is. There's some bald spots on the beard that I wish I could grow hair in to make a little bit more thick, but overall, I'm really pleased with how the beard has turned out. It's actually a little bit kind of a ginger beard, which is interesting. But yeah, Dana has pointed that out to me a few times, and finally yesterday I noticed it. But yeah, I mean, I've kept it clean, I've shaved the neck, and overall, the beard is looking not that bad. I actually don't hate the way that I look with it, so that is interesting. But just a few more days, and I think I'm going to shave all or most of it off. Moving forward in the podcast here, I always talk about how many fans I have and how many fans I've had and yada yada. Well, instead of talking about the number of fans I have, because it's really hard to quantify, today I want to just mention just the vast, huge number of views I've been getting, or listens. So I started my account in July, but I didn't release any podcasts. Then I released my first podcast at the end of August. And in the month of August, I had 3 plays. In the month of September, I jumped up to 19 plays. In the month of October, this is when the real growth happened. So 19 plays in September. And then in October, I jumped all the way up to 86 plays. That's insane. You know, huge shout out to you guys. Now, in the month of November, and mind you, I've only recorded one podcast. I have 89 plays. Now, the Succulents podcast itself only has 21, so that just shows that my listeners have been going back and listening to old podcasts, or I've just been gaining new listeners that have been going and just kind of binging the podcast. And so the Cromer at the End of the Table podcast starring Michael Cromer, of course, you know, coming from me, Michael Cromer, this is really wonderful. I don't even know how to say it, but, you know, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, which was just a short time ago, thanks. Thanks to everyone, truly. It's been a real ride, if you will. So, anyways, as I mentioned last podcast, I said, please send me in names for my Mexican snowball, which is one of the succulents that I had at the time. So, for my Mexican snowball, I had 4 voice messages on Anchor, which I'm pretty disappointed about, honestly. I mean, it's the real fans here. Zach Cartwright, Jack Matonis, Dana Deerdorf, even though he says he's not my top fan. And then Kyle Henn, who's been kind of a late bloomer of a fan, but he's really come on strong. I really expected there to be some more voice messages. So hopefully if I do this in the future, all you listeners out there can send in some feedback. And if you do send me something, I will play it, and it will be the first time I hear it. So you'll get my raw and genuine reaction. So anyways, let's see, without further ado, what the name of the Mexican snowball is going to be. Again, it just looks like this big one single flower with thicker leaves, and it's all, or thicker petals, excuse me. That was atrocious. But anyways, and it's all green. So yeah, the Mexican snowball. Let's see what you listeners have said. Let's listen to the first one that I got, which is from Dana.
I think that you should name your Mexican snowball succulent Consuela. Bye.
Consuela. Now, that is interesting. Consuela. I see there might be a theme here. It is a Mexican snowball, so he chose to go with Consuela. It also sounded like he was in a car there. So let's move on. Jack Matonis. Here's his submission.
Sorry for the echo, Kramer, but for my name submission, I would like to select the name Omar for the Mexican snowball.
And just as I guessed, there really might just be a theme here. So Omar, another name, another Hispanic traditionally name. Omar and Consuela. Okay, let's see. I wish you could tell the gender of a plant, because that might play into this, but, you know, you can't really tell. All right, Kyle Henn, let's see what he has to say.
I think you should name the Mexican snowball Snow Bomba, like the hit song Mo Bomba, but instead of Mo, it's Snow, since it's a Mexican snowball, for those of you that were born yesterday.
Can you feel the sass that Kyle Henn just spoke with? Truly, that is hilarious. That is hilarious. Well done, Kyle Henn. Snow Bomba. That is a truly incredible and creative name. And he didn't just jump right off and go to get on the Mexican bandwagon, but instead he chose to talk about snowball, the snowball portion of the plant's name. So that is, I think that's really creative. Well done, Kyle Henn. Now on to Zach Cartwright's submission here.
Hey, Cromer. I think your succulent name should be named after the greatest semi-pro basketball player of all time, Jackie Moon, obviously. Congratulations. I heard you bowled a whole 56. Heard that's personal best for you. It's kind of garbage, but, you know, you're doing good. So congratulations on that. See you around.
Well, sounds like he was clearly walking somewhere as he said that, a little bit out of breath just for walking Zach. So yeah, but it is true. I bowled a 56. You know, it might be the worst score I've bowled since I was, I don't know, 11. I typically break 100, and for whatever reason, I just continuously bowled directly to the right corner. Whether there were pins there or not, I just bowled there. I mean, if you break it down, there's 10 frames in bowling, 56, five, you know, slightly over five pins a frame. That truly is just atrocious. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, he called me out, and it is what it is. I truly did bowl a 56, and it truly was horrible. I mean, you just hate to hear that, though, that he said that. Anyways, there also was one submission via text. This one's coming from Mike Kittle. He's a new viewer. Mike Kittle and Nikki Mahalik, actually, they both are new viewers. They both binged the podcast. So thank you for listening. I wish you would have sent a voice message, but the name that he sent me was... Now, see, this is where I wish he would have sent a voice message, because it seems... it's a long name. I think I can pronounce it correctly. Here we go. Bella Buda Lagunita. Bella Buda Lagunita. Okay. So just to review the names that we have submitted, we have Consuela, we have Omar, we have Snowbamba, we have Jackie Moon, which has nothing to do with the name of the plant, but you know, I always will respect a semi-pro reference. And then Bella Buda Lagunita. So Bella Buda Lagunita, that's interesting. I think we can right off the bat eliminate Omar and Consuela. No offense to Jack or Dana, but I mean, those names just aren't as creative as the other three. Jackie Moon, it's always good to have a shout out, but I just think that the way that Mike and Kyle related their names to the name of the actual plant, They just have to take the win on that. And then between Bella Buda Lagunita and Snowbamba, I'm going to have to give it to Snowbamba. And it's simply because I had three submissions that went with the Mexican theme and only one that went with the snowball theme. And, you know, it will serve as a reference point for this time in history. It also goes along with Fetty Wap, the golem plant, because at that point in time, Fetty Wap was very popular. So at this point in time, Mobamba is very popular. So Snowbamba, that is the official name of my Mexican snowball. And look at this, we're already at 12:13 in the podcast. That's really quite crazy. The topic for today is going to be abstract art, and I'm only going to talk for a few minutes on that because of all the other segments that we've had. But abstract art, why abstract art? Am I really an abstract art guy? The answer is yes. So my freshman year here at Ohio University, so this is 2 years ago. It's actually a little less than 2 years ago. I went home and I saw an easel, an easel to paint with. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take that back with me. I went home for spring break and I saw the easel and I said, I'm going to take that back to school with me and I'm going to paint and I'm just going to see what I can do. I found a couple of canvases in my house, some paintbrushes and some paint. As a matter of fact, let me correct that. I found the paintbrushes, found the canvases, found the easel, but I did not have paint. Then I went and got paint. And then I just painted. I painted a face, and it was like a super abstract blue face. Painted some other stuff, and then I stopped for a while, but I would always come back to it, and I painted a little bit more here or there, and my style has progressed in different ways, but now in my room, I have one of my pieces actually hanging in my room. I have another piece hanging out in the kitchen. And I've done pieces before, and they're hanging all over the place. One is hanging in Nick Sophocleus' bedroom. That is a high school friend, still a good friend. He goes to Miami University. It's hanging in his room. I have a couple of pieces hanging in Dana's room. I have a piece hanging in my grandmother's room that I made for her. I have a piece hanging in my home, in my living room, actually, so it's displayed prominently. I'm going to give a piece to my uncle. But yeah, I've had my art actually hanging in a coffee shop before, in Donkey Coffee. And funny story there. It was quite simple. I had made art and I had seen the art that hung in Donkey before because I love coffee, as you know. And now you know that I love art, especially abstract art, but I had seen the art that was hanging in Donkey before. They had photography, they had art, but they did have a lot of abstract pieces in the past. And I kind of I was always drawn to that. As a matter of fact, one time, I had a $100 bill in my pocket. I went to Donkey Coffee. It was the first time I ever went to Donkey Coffee. I saw a piece of art there, and I fell in love. And it was called Wild Child. It was an abstract piece of a girl's face sticking her tongue out. It was made out of plastic bags and construction paper, and it was painted, and it was framed with glass. It was very nice. And I looked at the price. It said $60. And without thinking too much, I just said, I'm going to buy that. And then I did. I just bought it. And that was actually the fall of my freshman year. And I bought it, and it still had to hang for a few more months. But once they took it down, I went back, got it, hung it in my dorm. It actually fell once. The glass broke. But my grandmother got it reframed in a nicer frame, new glass. And she gave me the correct supplies to hang it. And now it's actually over my bed in my room. It's well done. I love that piece. And I've also acquired some pieces from my uncle in the past, one of which is hanging in my brother's house. And I have a couple other pieces that are either in my basement at home or with me here at school. But I've always had an affinity for art. Going to the Columbus Museum of Art when I was a kid. I've gone back whenever I can, typically on free Sundays. But then I purchased my first art, and I had some from my uncle, so I decided to paint my own. And at this point, I had started to fall in love with coffee, started to fall in love with coffee shops in general, the vibe that they bring. And I had obviously seen all the art that goes into Donkey Coffee, so I decided to reach out to the folks at Donkey Coffee, and I just sent them an email, and I got redirected to the right person. And long story short, I sent them a couple pictures of my paintings, and they said, you should hang your art over the summer in our purple room. And so I had my art up in a coffee shop for 4 months over the summer. And, that was just amazing. Since then, I've painted a few more pieces, some more pieces that I've liked more. My dorm last year was decorated with my art, and now I only have one piece up in my room. Oh, excuse me, I have two pieces up in my room currently. One I actually did with Dana, And the reason why I like abstract art so much is because it's something that almost everyone really can do. You don't have to necessarily be the best artist in the world. And I don't think I'm the best artist in the world. I just think that I know how certain colors go together and certain things look cool. And they don't necessarily have to mean anything right away. But over time, you can look at something and you can derive your own meaning from that. And if it's something that you want to look at and want to stare at and it makes you feel good. You see color. It makes you a little bit happier. That is why I like art. And the reason why abstract art even came around was back in the day, they used to have to paint in order to tell the story of an accurate scene. So they painted very realistic, accurate things. And they also painted very religious things. And they didn't want to dilute how Jesus or Mary or Joseph looked. So they painted very straightforward things that look very, very good, and it took a lot of skill, a lot of time, and a lot of effort to make. Then the photograph came around, and then you could instantly capture a real-life scene in perfect detail, way faster, way more accurate than any painting could do. So while there are still people who do very realist paintings, there are also people who then started to, whatever their impression of the scene was, that's what they would do. That was called impressionism. Then, however they wanted to express their emotions, they painted that. That was expressionism. And we've kind of grown into that. Then Andy Warhol came along, who's one of my favorite artists, and created pop art. And it was literally taking something so simple, recreating a perfect mold of it, and then printing it and printing it and printing it and printing it over and over again, and then putting it all together. And it was just very aesthetically pleasing to look at. It wasn't as time consuming, and maybe it's not necessarily as traditional, or it didn't acquire as much skill, but it made someone feel something. And for that, that is why artists are world renowned and paid so highly, and art is so expensive. Now I'm really starting to run on here. I'm getting towards 20 minutes, but if you want to check out an artist that really just kind of messes with and is the counterculture, which is what I think art should be, check out Jeff Koons. And actually, one of my favorite filmmakers, Oscar Boyson, made a short documentary about Jeff Koons that's very interesting. You can learn about him that way. But anyways, be sure to send me voice recordings if you want to get featured on the podcast. I mean, Zach Cartwright roasted me today, and I played it, and didn't have any problems with that. I'm just happy that he sent me something that I could play on the podcast. So send me whatever you like, and I will play it on the podcast. So thank you so much for listening to the Cromer at the End of the Table podcast starring Michael Cromer. I, of course, am Michael Cromer, and remember, you can't sleep on a walk.